Okay, it's 1 o'clock. I'm going to call the meeting to order of the Utility Financial Oversight Committee. Kathy, could you take the role, please?
Chairperson Engelmann?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bennett?
Here.
Member Bowling?
Here.
Member Scott? Member Spell?
Here.
All right, and just include him when he arrives. I haven't heard from him, so he should be coming along. Let's first go to public comment. Do we have any public comment? Anyone here that wants to say anything?
Pertaining to
okay.
The flood, the drainage.
Pardon me.
Pertaining to the storm drain, is that, or should we wait till that is approached till you get to that part of the
Because that's the last thing on our agenda, if you'd like to address it now, you certainly may, and then you can also address it again at that time. Well, if you'd like to, if you'd come up to the podium, please.
We own property that is adjacent to Gordon.
I'm sorry, could I have your name, please?
My name is Donna Hewlett, H-U-L-E-T-T. And we own property that is adjacent to the storm drain that you are looking at from Gordon Street to Morgan Mill. And in fact, it runs adjacent to our property. The property has been flooded due to the storm drain inadequacy four times in the last 20 years. And we are here hoping that we can get some response from you folks on addressing this storm drain. It is draining waters all from the corner of College Parkway and Highway 50. And as the last corner is developed, which is right across from Slot World, and we've just had a corner developed, which is the new truck stop there, the Maverick, all that water is coming down to that one storm drain, and the storm drain overflows, and it cannot carry the water properly, subsequently backing up into our backyard and flooding our home. So we've just had floods in January twice. The Public Works was out with approximately 500 sandbags, which we just had removed last week. And so we are hoping to find out when this area will be addressed and how soon, because going forward, we don't know what we can do as far as our property values and so forth. So that's the main reason we're here to listen today.
Okay, and let me explain that we're really here to look at the financial side of it to see how the money's going to be spent. So it could very well be that we'll Dave, will we be hearing something about a project concerning that property?
Well, that was in the newspaper this morning, that that corner was going to be addressed.
I'd have to look at the specific slide for that area.
Okay, it said from Gordon Street to Morgan Mill was allocated approximately $1,100,000 to address that, and that is the exact area where we're having our problem.
Okay, so when we get to the stormwater part, then then that's probably when, although it's good for us to know that that's an area that will be looked at. But again, we're here to approve not them actually doing the project, but the cost of it.
Okay, as long as it's in the works. Thank you.
Right. Okay, there being no other public comment, did everybody get a chance to look at the minutes, and are there any amendments or any changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Thank you. Member Bowling, do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
That comes from Member Spell. Okay, that taken care of.
Let's Madam Chair, I missed the roll call, and I just would note that I did make it, so sorry to be late.
That's quite all right, Mr. Scott. We already had made arrangements to have you marked as here when you arrived, so.
Oh. Well, thank you.
We knew you'd be here eventually. Yes, thank you. Okay, so we had a first and a second on the minutes. If we could have a vote, please. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It's unanimous, Kathy. Okay, let's move ahead now to the get the sewer fund budget.
David Bricetta, for the record, Madam Chair, committee members. What I'd like to do is just give you a high-level overview of all the attachments that you had and the correlation between them, and then we can go into some of the details associated with each of the spreadsheet and then answer any questions, of course, you have. For each of these funds, there was four attachments, and the attachments, we'll start with the high level, we'll go into the details in a minute, but this is the highest level detail, and this is the financial policy for the sewer fund operation. What rolls into that is the financial summary. This is a spreadsheet that simply puts together the various information for the revenue and expenditures in a summary form. We've standardized using the different forms maybe we've used in the past to be more consistent to what's presented with the Board of Supervisors. So this is the roll-up version of what the third attachment you have is called the budget prep worksheet. And that's this attachment here. This is a total of 8 pages for this product. And what happens is each one of these, this is the line item detail associated with all the projects. These roll up into the budget summary. The budget summary then is where we get the information for the financial policies. And then the last attachment that you have is what we call the CIP or the capital improvement plan. So those are the four documents you have associated with each of these funds. Let me just start with the fiscal summary first. Financial policies first. So we gave you a preview of this at the last meeting, simplified the process, and what we have here are these are our new financial policies. Here's the goals. There's 5 different financial policies: the operating reserve, capital contingency reserve, system reinvestment funding, debt management, and debt service coverage. Next to it is the description of what each one of these goals are, the target in which we want to achieve, and then actually what we have for that fiscal year, the projected fiscal year 17, and then looking forward into the tentative budget for fiscal year 18. So we can give you a snapshot of those three areas. So focusing in on the tentative budget fiscal year 18, you can see down here at the bottom, operating reserve, the target is 45 days of operating and maintenance expenses. The target we want to achieve is $832,659. The tentative budget that we have proposed has that amount in it, so it met that financial objective. Capital contingency reserve, the minimum balance is the 2% of the fixed assets, $2.7 million. The tentative budget exceeds that, so we've met that target. System reinvestment funding, which would be a funding amount, a dedicated funding amount that's equal to the annual depreciation expense, $3.5 million. We also have met that on the tentative budget. Next one is debt management, and that's looking at debt-to-equity ratios, approximately 50-50, and again, we've exceeded that. Fiscal policy, and then the last is the debt service coverage, and you know, with a minimum of 1, we've also exceeded that. So looking into the financial policies for the proposed sewer budget, those 5, we've met those 5 fiscal policies.
Committee, any questions, Mike?
Yes, I do. David, can you explain to me the 2018 system reinvestment funding balance, how you got $10 million?
So right here, and I just as an aside here, we can go into the other sheets into more detail and explain more. We have finance here with us that can answer a lot more detail on what we have here. So let me go into the other spreadsheets, and I'll show you where this number came from.
Okay, but my main concern is that would be embedded within your total fund balance, correct? It's the amount that you would have collected that year that was left over through the system reinvestment funds. And it should be basically in that 6.9 million, shouldn't it? Because that 6.9 million that exceeds your 2% for your capital contingency reserve, that should include any unspent debt proceeds as well. That's why you're exceeding it so much. So, and everything looks good for 16 and 17 when you look at the system reinvestment funding. And I just cannot figure out how we can have 10 million, which is even exceeds the whole total cash on hand. Yes. It should be part of that 6.9 million. This will help answer questions on the water too, David, so.
And because these roll up, I'll open up the Excel spreadsheet that'll provide more detail. Sorry, I'm having to go through some of the details on this to see these connections here. So where that's coming from is the acquisition of the capital assets, the bond payments, principal and interest, and the bond proceeds. So I guess what you're questioning is the bond proceed, the $6 million, for the proceeds would be put into the capital contingency reserve. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, yeah. If we go back to your old spreadsheet, which we used last year, which broke out perfectly everything that made your fund balance, this is to me is distorting the picture. I don't know if that $10 million is what you're saying you collected. Part of your fees is what you collected for system reinvestment funding. But it's really not part of your fund balance. And that's what we're looking for. It's what this schedule you did last year was. It showed out of our fund balance how much is for operating costs, how much is from debt service, and how much is for system reinvestment. And so like I said, it looks really good for 16 and 17, that it would be embedded in that, in the balance that exceeds your capital contingency reserve minimum.
What we're trying to do this year with this, and maybe this is just working through this process, we're trying to align that spreadsheet that you saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was a mixture of way of doing things, and there was confusion that led to how we did it, and then what was being reported by finance as part of the total budget. So this process is trying to align it to the more of a standardized method. So maybe these are some bugs that we're going to work through on this one, since this is the first time we're preparing it this way.
Because if I look at like 16 says you have $2,029,562. To me, that would represent, that's what is in that reserve, your cash on hand that was actually collected through your system reinvestment funding. And that's what we want to see. That's what you're supposed to be building your fund balance with, so we don't have to bond. We can do more pay as you go. But then we, and it looks really good for estimated 2017. We're exceeding. And actually, 17 looks good because seeing 16, we didn't even exceed. We don't even have what we got. Our goal was 3.5 million. 17, we finally got out of the hole, which was a problem in our last year's budgets, is we weren't meeting our goals. We finally got out of it, but I then to go from 3.6 million to 10 million, I just go, huh? How did that? I mean, we just, that does not make sense as far as what our fund balance is.
I think I understand what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So we can work with Cindy to get these
excuse me, Sherry,
to where they need to be.
I just want to make note that you're who's speaking.
Sherry Russell, Deputy CFO. So we can work with Cindy to get this where it needs to be. I see what you're saying. The reserve should be something, should be some breakout of the fund balance available.
Yeah, right.
$10 million mm-hmm. in cash or fund balance mm-hmm. available.
Yeah, because
so it, I see what you're saying, and I think it, we can work with Cindy.
Right. There should be a dollar amount that would be embedded in the 6.9. Remember, like last year, we showed every bit of everything that went into the fund balance. What the debt, and I don't really care about the debt. Well, actually, if I knew this was actually the, you know, what was in the fund balance from your system reinvestment funding, and I knew that you had to have 2% of it in capital contingency reserve, basically the rest would have to be bond proceeds.
That is what it is, and that's, we were just talking about it. It's the $6 million bond that we would be proposing
but
this year.
A bond is not system reinvestment funding in your fee schedule. Bond proceeds are completely different. What we're looking for in this fiscal policy is, did you collect $3.5 million, which was your goal for system reinvestment funding? And I don't know, because I don't know what the so you're saying most of that 10 million is bond proceeds.
6 million, correct.
So we're 3.3. So, yeah, I don't care about the bond proceeds. I know that would be, well, in actuality, you can't have bond proceeds sitting around on hand of 10 of, well, you said there's 6 million. Yes. So the 6,975, you're saying 6 million of that is bond proceeds? Okay, so you only have $975,000 of system reinvestment funding?
So, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Okay. If you have $6 million of in cash of bond funding available in your fund balance, at year end, that's what you expect. You're going to have $6 million of unspent right. bond proceeds. Then that means you only had $975,164 in that account for system reinvestment funding from your fees. Because like I told you, when you get into this to the fund balance, you take the two, you take the operating reserve and the capital contingency reserve. That is your year-end cash on hand. We far exceed what our 2% is for capital contingency. So that, the residual will be made up of unspent bond proceeds and system reinvestment funds. And that, what our goal was, is to meet the depreciation. You wanted the depreciation amount in the fund balance each year. And so if that's the case, I would say you're not going to meet your goal of 3.5 million of system reinvestment funding in your fund balance for 2018. Because you're saying 6 million of that 6.9 million is bond proceeds.
Yeah, 6 million.
gentleman, I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, bear with us as we're working through this. Thank you.
For people in the audience, I believe there's a packet over there on the table if you wanted to get one. Commissioner Spell. So we were just talking about it here, and maybe just a point of clarification. This system reinvestment funding, just to clarify, the two reserves, and just so that we're on the same page and saying the same thing, there's two reserves, the operating reserve and the capital contingency
reserve.
The system reinvestment funding is not a reserve.
It's embedded within the 2%.
It is.
It's part of.
It's actually what they spent.
Right.
What they spent.
Right.
In the year.
Correct.
Well, that's not how you treated it last year. We had it as a line item, and that was the confusion, is people thought it was a separate fund balance. No, if you go back to the report, it said embedded within the contingency is the amount of funds you would have available for system reinvestment funding. And then, like last year, you gave us a CIP project list that showed how much system reinvestment funding was going to be used to pay, how much bonds were going to be used for the CIP. And that's where it was really nice to show, hey, you can show the consumers, this is where your fees are going. Where this, I'm just going, okay, that doesn't line up with the good information. This is not bad effort. I'm just saying what we had. And you and I, we've discussed this before, people think these are all separate no, they're not. You only have one fund balance. Within it, you have O&M that we got to break out, and then we have capital contingency, which is going to be, it better be, that fund, rest of it better be at least 2%, and anything over that 2% is going to be unspent bond proceeds and the money that we have collected for system reinvestment.
I understand what you're getting at now, we can put this under capital contingency reserve as a nesting, but the idea was, it was viewed not as a reserve; it was viewed as a funding source that we're showing how much we're actually spending from that funding source, system reinvestment funding. So. It's not a reserve. That's the point of confusion.
Okay, but if you're saying you spent $10 million on system reinvestment funding, where did you said 6 million of that was bonds. That's not system reinvestment funding. That's not part of your fees. That's separate. Here again, that's what the system wasn't that what system reinvestment funding is for, is to get away, get more money into our fund balance so we don't have to bond as much.
Correct. By definition, the idea behind the system reinvestment funding was to create a funding source for repair and replacement of equipment, of facilities, you know, of capital items. Mm-hmm. And so I guess maybe I'm just not explaining it right, because we're saying that, you know, from the rates, we're showing this as a line item here, that there would be $10.3 million spent from those three different sources, the three sources, which is the acquisition of the capital assets, the bond payments, principal and interest, and the bond proceeds.
So for this upcoming year, 2018, the target is $3.5 million.
Right.
But we are spending $10.3 million. So six of that 10.3 is a lump sum coming from a bond.
Right.
So then now those bond payments that are going to be spread out over the next 20 years, those will be shown in this line item that we put towards capital reinvestment. So we're spending the $6 million now, but the payment of that will get shown spread out over the next 20 years as that's reinvestment funding that went into the system. The goal is to get away from less bonding, more spend as you go. But for this line item here, if you took the 6 million out of the 10.3, you'd end up with 4.3. So basically, we would be spending $4.3 million, which we are this coming year, 18, in reinvestment funding.
That's what I was looking to clarify.
Okay.
But
so the bond is confusing.
So really, of the
6.975 million, you have 4 million of system reinvestment funds that you in that.
Right. That's right.
At least that you're gonna spend.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. 4.3 or whatever it is, yes.
So, and is that the total amount of system reinvestment funds that you know that we have in there?
That's
I guess
correct.
It would have to be, because
yes,
if that's six, well, we know that 2.7 million has to be capital contingency.
Right.
So actually, you're down to, it wouldn't be, because 2.77 is capital contingency. And then, so we're at four. Yeah, that's right. Because there are some bond proceeds, though, you said, in that 6.9 million. Do we know how much the bond unspent bond proceeds are in that?
Yes, we can look that up. So what's in the 6.975? How much of that is bond proceeds?
So I think you can take out of that 6.975, you can take the 3.5 that's in the next line item down, you could subtract that off, because that's being spent in reinvestment. So that number is in there. So in reality, I think that's the way. The idea was to get away from the embedding so that it's very clear as to meeting these goals. But I understand the perspective of looking at it from last year of how maybe we've confused the issue. We were trying to make it simpler.
Last year, I know the problem last year is people kept thinking, hey, we're different, separate funds.
Right.
It's all one fund balance.
Correct.
And it was perfectly laid out. Here's of this, here's how much is O&M. And then it was just kind of an attrition thing. Okay, what else do we need? And then what didn't get funded, because it was critical. We went with the 2% O&M first, then we had to have the 2%, and then everything else. But then bond proceeds, of course, we cannot mess with those. Those can only be spent on capital projects. So, and then anything residual would have had to have been the amount of funds that you had for system reinvestment funding.
So I'm going to try to clarify a little bit. This is Sherry again.
Yeah, Sherry.
The CFO. So basically the 832 in the operating and the 2%, the system, the 6.9, that is the total cash that we expect to be on hand as of the end of 2018.
Right, exactly.
So those are the two total reserves. Mm-hmm. What we've done with the system reinvestment funding, I think, is where the craziness lies, because that's more what we've spent.
Correct.
As opposed
to what's actually in that
6.975.
Right, for next year's funding. So, yeah, because in that 6.975, you got 2.777 million that is capital contingency. You have X amount of unspent bond funds. The residual would be system reinvestment funds.
Actually, the way we budget both the proceeds of the bond and the project. So we budgeted that all to be spent in 18. Whether that actually happens or not, we've budgeted it to be spent.
Okay.
So in these projections, there shouldn't be much bond proceeds in that 6.9.
Oh, okay.
There shouldn't.
There's
none, because we've taken it out.
Oh, you've taken it all out.
We've pretended that we've spent it all in 18, even if we have to carry it over in reality.
So in essence, then, if there are no bond proceeds in the 6.9 million, then you have fulfilled your 3.5 million. In essence, you have more than 3.5 million of system reinvestment funds, because you want to fulfill the 2.7 for contingency. So you will have that extra 4 million. And that's what I think would be a great number to show all your ratepayers, that look at this is going to come help us fund down our debt.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have some questions? Let me ask you a question, Member Spell. Do you think the form that was used last year is a little better for us as far as clarity is concerned? I'm just thinking of future budgets and future years. Are you happy with the forms we have this time, or?
Yeah, I was fine with 2016 and 17, because everything penciled out. I knew I had the capital contingency was covered. The only thing I did not know is whether any bond proceeds left in that ending fund balance. That is a number that would be key, is if we could get if there is any, you just flag it, how much bond proceeds are. Then it's easy to determine, at least it would be for me, maybe not for the casual observer. Maybe we do have to go back to this line item of that shows here's what our fund balance is made up of. And I think that would probably be much easier for a board member who does not have a lot of time to say, okay, here's what our goals are, here's what we actually did.
So is that possible, Darren and Dave, that with the next budget that we could include that sheet or use it and particularly explain to people who aren't as mathematically inclined as Mike Spell might be? they could understand probably
I think
better.
The goal was to to simplify it, to make it match, but I can understand from the conversation that that there's some missing pieces that would help fill in the blanks. And that's just a little step to, this is a work in progress, so absolutely.
Great, thank you. Okay, I think we can move on now. Oh, wait a minute.
The only thing I would say, we really wouldn't need any of this information with the expenditures and revenue again. We already have that with your summary.
Correct.
So that'd be redundancy.
Right.
But I think from this point on down, we can fine-tune it. If you want to contact me, we can get together on that. But because I have an obligation on being on this member, are you in compliance with the financial goals?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell for 2018. So anything we can do to make that easier. Thanks.
Clear as mine.
And let me say that I know that that Public Works has been absolutely swamped with the flooding, pardon the pun, and so forth, and the fact that you got all of this material together on a timely basis, I want you to know that we do appreciate it, and we do recognize it. Okay. So, Dave, if you want to move on now.
Okay. Let me close this one. So financial policies were squared away then. We'll work with you on this, and we can fine-tune this. Then moving into this information, this rolls into the financial policy. So this is the fiscal summary for the sewer fund. And what you're looking at is the prior year actuals. There was a request to have the prior year actuals included. So we included the prior year actuals. Fiscal year 17 estimated, fiscal year 18 proposed, of course, and it shows what the change is and then the change amount. And it breaks it out into higher categories. This is a standard sheet that finance provides to the board, so we want to standardize and include this in here. And it's just looking at the revenues and expenditures. Are there any specific questions you may have on this one?
Yes, Bruce Scott.
Yeah, Dave. Talk to me about connection fees and the estimates there.
So we're very conservative in our estimates. And under revenue, it's the third line down. You can see that connection fees for fiscal year 16 were $129,000, estimated this year to be $75,000. So $175,000. We're being very cautious. You know, we don't want to overestimate. And so it's just cautionary. I don't. It's just being cautious.
Following up on the administration of that, and it also affects water. We're in the second year or the third year of a graduated increase in connection fees, as I recall. And that changes July 1st.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Are people buying connection fees ahead, or is it a big enough change to warrant, given some of the construction that's ongoing?
It was when we first, it got all the news, all the press, before that July 1 deadline where they went up, we saw a little bit of a spike of people coming in and grabbing some before they had to pay more. Since that time, we haven't seen anybody or a lot of people trying to come in early to meet that July 1 deadline.
Are those fees paid? When in the process are they paid? With the pulling of a building permit?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So that was an area I was going to ask, too. Does anybody else have any other questions before I ask mine? But I would, on the same subject.
A real quick one. From a budgetary project analysis, what year-to-date actuals, what is the as-of date for that?
December 16.
Okay. Thank you.
So on the connection fees, we have any way of better estimating how many come in by how many permits have been, not just building permits, but we've got groups that have, you know, gone before the Planning Commission and gotten approval and so forth. Do we figure any of that into the budget? Do we do any forecasting as far as that's concerned?
We don't. It's more a particular development subdivision comes in, and they've got multiple phases, multiple houses they're going to build, and they give us, they don't have to tell us timing as to when that's going to go. They say we're going to start off with phase one, and then we'll go to phase two. We don't know how long it's going to take. We can guess. We're comfortable that that $65,000 is too low, but depending on how things shake out over the year working with developers, we just don't know. We can't estimate that very well.
Right, and I know the flooding held up some projects and so forth. So, I mean, we got weather that was unexpected.
Right.
You know, that builders had probably planned on something else than what we got.
And I can take some of the blame here. because revenue, we always try to budget low, conservatively, where expenses we tend to budget a little higher. Because at the end of the day, the money comes in and we'll be ahead of the game, and then we can spend it on whatever we need to. But as far as a budget standpoint, we never want to over-budget revenue. So I think they did. I think Public Works did have it higher, and I probably was the one that said, no, let's put that down just in case. So,
Bruce?
Just very quickly, an observation. The connection fees estimated for 2016-17 are about 1.3% of our total expenditures. So you can see how small connection fees even now are in relation to the overall costs of the sewer operation.
Yes, Rand.
If I could switch from the focus from the $65,000 to the $14.8 million, it seems like there's a fairly substantial, at least in my mind, increase going from the 16-17 estimated at 12.9 million in service charges to the 17-18 proposal of 14.8, which is about a 15% increase. What do you attribute the 15% increase to?
There'll be one more year of rate increases. So this will be the last year of the rate increase process.
So the most significant part of that 15% increase is attributed to the
increase? If we want to go and look at the details, we can go into the worksheet, and the worksheet will tell us where we anticipated that.
But by far, the significant increase is going to be due to the rate increase going into effect July 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
Yeah, so fixed capitalism.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Member Stealth?
Yes. On page 4, or page 3 of the budget preparation worksheet, water effluent supplies, it's down almost the bottom. Is that paying the water fund for the water that they're getting to supplement the effluent?
What's the account number on that?
It's 510-3201-43404-39, water effluent supplement. That's to pay for that.
That's correct. That's to pay that.
Okay.
For the effluent.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we get to water, I've got a question, because this does not agree to, in the 2016 amount, the two do not agree, because it would be coming in as revenue, right, on water?
Okay, any other questions? I have a question on the salary increases. So I'm wondering how you figured that. Is that merit increases or?
For salaries, yes, it's all merit increases and increases in benefits as well. So for the benefit side.
So that could change, though, if there's some sort of labor negotiation that happens later on?
It could, but I don't think they're due to have a negotiation for a couple years, CCA.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Dave.
Okay, so the budget prep worksheet, we're onto this one. It's the 8 pages. It's the detailed information that rolls up into the sheet that you were looking at. So do you have any other specific questions associated with this one?
Can I ask?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
On page 1, Dave, we have Douglas County user fees and charges with nothing in fiscal year 17 adjusted budget. We go from 95 to 119, nothing in year-to-date actuals, and then up to 150. Is that the Clear Creek area, or? Okay. Yeah. He verbally nodded.
A question on page 4 of 8. Those are all cost, mostly cost allocations, is that correct?
Just in general, I'm sorry. So you're looking at the services and supply, the line item detail.
Yeah, on the worksheet, page 4 of 8.
So those are the line items for services and supplies, the individual line items that make up the services and supplies. They go over two pages, page 3 and page 4. So the interfund, the charges, I think that you were asking about, start down toward middle of the page, which has the ISC colon and then general fund, insurance fund, fleet management, and radios. Those are the inter-service charges associated for the general fund, insurance fund, fleet, and radios.
All right, and then we have the grant allocation, direct bill.
Yeah, that is, should they get any grant funding for any of this, typically the grants, the majority of them will be dealt with in the grant fund. So we'll reduce expenses here in order to make sure the money ends up where it's supposed to in the grant fund.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Member Bennett?
David, could you summarize what the transfer to the general fund is for?
Okay, this is, you're talking about the ISC, the internal service charge. Okay, yeah, this is cost allocation. So we actually have a consultant that comes out and figures out how much of the general fund is time and let's see, included in the general fund are the DA's service, the city manager, my department, finance, HR. So all of our services are broken out. In addition, Public Works Engineering Department is in the general fund. So most of their managers, project managers, all of their salaries are in the general fund. So sewer has a lot more going on than water. So their cost allocation is quite a bit more because they've got more of that time.
Thank you. The numbers we're seeing, are these the trued up? I think that's what you all are called, the true up numbers, or
yes.
These are the estimates?
No, these are the trued up numbers.
Okay.
I mean, part of it is an estimate because we're working off of 16 actual numbers and we're putting it into an 18 budget. But we are, every 2 years, we true that up. So it ends up being correct at the end of the day.
A couple things. On the top of page 2, residential non-operating revenue, second line down, it jumps around an awful lot. What goes into that?
The commercial and the residential, both of those line items are actually the connection fees.
Okay. And then, as you may gather, I have a certain amount of heartburn with the whole interfund transfer with regard to the overhead, and just from an observation, and we can talk a little bit about it with the other two, because I just made a couple of notes on the sewer fund. It's about 1.8 million of the transfers under the general fund, insurance, fleet, and radios, which is about 12% of the total, and that total is about $79,386 per employee in the sewer department, just for reference purposes. And I realize that those get kind of trued up, but I'm not sure some of that stuff, in my personal opinion, wouldn't be better off coming out of the general fund and not hitting the enterprise funds quite so hard. But it's pretty significant when you look at the three funds together.
Well, the public works portion of the general fund alone is over $3 million. So that, a big portion of that, most of it, is split into the sewer, water, and stormwater funds. And then on top of that, they have the services from HR, finance, all the other departments that service them. So they do get hit pretty hard, but if they had those departments within the utility, it'd be far more expensive.
No, I understand the theory, and I just, I guess I see that as a way for the general fund to be reduced or not to have to increase as much to spread the revenues a little bit, and I understand covering the overhead. It's just when you look at it collectively, it does add up to be a big number.
No other questions? Okay, let's move on, Dave.
So really that makes up the sewer side of things? I'm sorry, there was CIP left. So here's a capital improvement. I make it bigger so you can see it better. So maybe go one less. What this is here's a list of the proposed capital projects for fiscal year 18 through fiscal year 22. And then some of them are multi-year. So here's your five-year total comparison. And then on the bottom is the fiscal year expenditure proposed. And I'm happy to answer any questions or provide more detail on some of these line items if you'd like more detail on what they may include.
Does anybody have any? I have one. Eagle Valley Golf Course. What are we doing out there that's costing us so much money?
So the Eagle Valley Golf Course, you're referring to this line item right here. It's listed as reuse, EVGC, rehabilitation. And you can see over a five-year period, the proposed expenditures are about just under $4.4 million. So, you know, this golf course, there's a lot of needs in infrastructure up there. The golf course was initially built in the early 70s, and there's an enormous amount of infrastructure that needs repair. We have a report. We had a private consultant come in and do an estimate of needs out at that facility in the next immediate needs and 5 years looking out. And because this was a rate phase-in, we didn't have the money to start funding some of those needs. So some of them got pushed out even further, but the total on that was near $5 million in immediate needs within the next 5 years. So a lot of these costs are included in that to try and repair some of that infrastructure.
I guess I never saw the consultant's report on Eagle Valley, but I'm a little concerned about us spending that kind of money. Is this for development out there? I mean, what exactly are we doing out there? And this is property that's leased by somebody. This isn't Carson City property necessarily.
Well, we have a lease agreement with an operator to run the facility to manage the golf course, but it's part of our disposal activities for the reclaimed water. It's a site where we put reclaimed water. And that site has not been maintained as far as the reclaimed water infrastructure goes. So there's a lot of needs in rehabilitation. And it's not for development of new property or anything like that. It's for the rehabilitation of the golf course. To move all that reclaimed water on that facility, it is to rehabilitate the pump stations, the buildings associated with the pump stations. This is all reclaimed water related. It's not related to the other activities.
But it's coming out of the sewer fund.
It's coming out of the sewer fund because as a requirement of our permit, we can't direct discharge into the river, so we have to have reuse sites. And this is Carson City site to where we have to be able to maintain that infrastructure.
And the lessee has no responsibility as far as maintenance is concerned?
Specific to the reuse side, no. We do have an agreement with them, and their obligations are spelled out in that agreement. But the reclaimed water side are specific to Carson City.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? So these are the projects that you'll be working on. This is our project list, right?
That's correct. And so the focus, I mean, as we look at this, we do a five-year projection looking out, but the focus is on fiscal year 18 is the priority to be spent a little over $12 million.
Yes.
So at past meetings, David, you had shown a give us a presentation on the wastewater treatment plant and how stormwater, you saw a direct influence from stormwater hitting the wastewater treatment plant. I see groundwater protection, sewer maintenance about halfway down. I think last time we spoke, you said that there still needed to be a study done to identify what the source of that stormwater was. This $50,000 a year doesn't seem like enough to either do the capital side or the study side. Is that mixed somewhere else?
Really what this line item is this is a kind of a fill line item. This the $50,000 is not specific to one thing. We have out in the area as a whole, whether it's related to reclaimed water, septic tanks, you know, there's nitrate issues out there. So as these issues popped up, what this is $50,000 to research, to study, to look at. If there becomes issues, we do have some mandatory sewerage that needs to happen because of septic tanks. And so these are to help us. It's money put in there to help us identify some of these areas, not specifically to fix any one specific project. So it may be $50,000 this year to study something that becomes an issue, if nitrates become an issue in a given area, or to look at issues related to anything related to groundwater in general.
And remember, Mike, if you go up into the previous budget that we just looked at, the actual cost to hire a consultant to study it, that would be done under our professional services within operations. This is capital work that's being done in this plan. So it is funded up there under the operation line item.
And you do bring up you do bring up a good point, because at the last meeting we did show the presentation with, you know, with all this water and the activities that are happening within the sewer. And, you know, as we're getting into repair and rehab some of the sewer lines, we're seeing that now. We're seeing infrastructure in there that we weren't aware of. A good example is we're doing a project right now on West Washington, a sewer rehabilitation project. And we actually found a pipe that was not on any markings, and it went from a water table, a part of the aquifer, into the sewer system. Wasn't on any of our markings. So those are the kind of activities. So we have to demo out that pipe now. But, you know, somewhere along the way, years ago, especially in the older part of towns or the part of the old Ormsby County, things were done, not well documented, and we find them when we dig into the ground. And that's an example of what something like that could be used for.
So,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
To summarize, but the point I guess I was trying to make, and thank you for the clarification, I missed the groundwater protection side. The inflow into the plant is a huge component of what we're having to deal with the capacity of the plant, right? And it seems to me to be a pretty low-hanging fruit if we can find and solve some of those inflow concerns. What I'm hearing is you're working on ways to identify those, and then they can be funded replacement through the capital side.
Member Bowling?
I would just like to buttress what Mike was saying. The amount of groundwater or stormwater infiltration has got significant impacts on the additional treatment that's required at the plant. And it seems like addressing that is going to be a high priority. But you say, Darren, that there's professional services fees included in other parts of the budget to address specifically that?
Yeah, on the operations side up above that we were looking at, professional services, that's where we would hire a consultant. And after this last storm, that's on our target to do over this next year, is to look at I&I and determine what is low-hanging fruit. Is there a certain area we can concentrate on and spend some capital money that where we could really reduce that I&I? Is it citywide? Is it a big problem? Is there no way we can fund it? Those are all questions that we would be looking at with that study.
One last question is, could you steer me to that in the budget, where that is?
So what you're looking for is are you looking for the professional service line item? So
I can answer that. That's on page 3 of 8, about halfway down the page.
And then page 5, the 3202 department, about halfway down the page as well. There's about $387,000.
Where was that second one?
on page 5, about halfway down the page.
What's the difference between the two, between page 3 and page 5?
One of them's wastewater and the other one's sewer. Sorry, stealing your thunder?
No. We don't like that either, but that's the way it's laid out.
Thank you.
Okay, so do we...
Not to confuse the issue, just a clarification on that. So that, for example, the work that's being done at the wastewater treatment plant now, this professional services, that contract from that design firm, is that in this item, or is it in the capital side?
No, it would be in the capital side.
Okay.
Do we have any public comment? Seeing none, I would accept a motion to approve and refer this budget to the Board of Supervisors. Member Scott?
Yeah, I would recommend that we refer this with our recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, recognizing what Mike Fell has requested in terms of additional clarification for, I guess, future needs.
Okay, that's approved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Member Bennett. All in favor, say aye.
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 None opposed, it's unanimous. Okay, Dave, you want to move on to the next one?
Okay, so here we are for the financial policies for water. We're running into the same issue down below.
Right.
I think we understand what you're looking for to correct it for the next one. Looking at, obviously, the fiscal year 16, you know, there's a couple line items, but that was the phase-in process. At the end of the projected fiscal year 17, still some shortages. But looking at the projection out for fiscal year 18, the only line item remaining in that is the debt-to-equity ratio. We know in water, you know, we knew this in the beginning that, you know, we had a higher debt-to-equity ratio. And back when we did the consultant study, the consultant even recognized that 5 years ago. And, you know, that's why they put it's not an absolute. We mark it here as an X because it's not 50-50. But in reality, what they were saying, these are kind of targets, generalities. They ended up combining the two together to say, look, we're still approximately 50-50 between water and sewer on your utility side. But, you know, there's what you can see is if you look over the past history, when we started the study, it was like 59 to 41, so we're improving. But when you look at your debt to equity, I mean, you're looking at close to $100 million. So that's, you know, we're changing slowly every year. It's the debt to equity is coming down. So we do mark that as a no, but we're saying in general it's still in the range of 50 to 50, about 50-50. So we, you know, consider it whether we want to use the consultant's thoughts, combining the two, but we're going in the right direction on that. We see that. So we, as staff, we didn't have concerns over that, and that's something we can immediately fix.
Mike?
This is where I think that it's so critical on the system reinvestment funding. As we bring that up, that goes down. We get it back in the line with the goal.
Okay. Did this not move faster because of the amount of ratepayer money coming in? I mean, clearly it's been less than what was projected originally. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And when 5 years ago it was about 59 million, 59 to 41. Sorry, yeah, 59 to 41. And so it's coming down. But when you look at the debt and the equity, you know, total of close to 100 million, that's just such a big number. That's why. So it's going to take some time to slowly work that down.
And you'll remember at our planning meeting we had in January, when we talked about water and very little capital for this next year in water, for instance, the east-west pipeline, the plan all along was to bond that, one more bond for $5 million to finish that project. But after looking at the numbers and revenue coming in below what we had estimated, we
we couldn't do that. We can't make that work. So that's why you don't see that in this upcoming year's capital plan, is because we can't. So our goal is to rely less and less off of bonds, especially for this fund, and more pay as you go. It just takes us some time to get healthy to build that up. Then you add and compound the fact that our revenues are coming in below expectations due to people saving. It makes it even worse, and it takes us longer to get there. But
and the increase that's coming in July, that's what? How much percent?
6.5%. Is that right? 6.5%.
6.5% July 1st. Everybody's bills go up again, right? And that's the last time, right?
Forever.
Everybody heard him.
I don't think his mic was
at. Let's move.
Okay, so then going back to the detail sheets, starting with the fiscal summary, you know, I don't need to explain the details associated with this, or any specific questions you have with the fiscal summary or the worksheet associated with water. Okay.
Member Spell?
Yes. Going back to our financial policies again here again, because we've got the compliance issue. In the future, would it be possible to get the support for your debt management and debt service coverages? I can reconcile 2016 to CAFR, but I do not have access to, well, especially to the debt equity ratio, unless I know what your projected fund balances will be and what your total debt will be.
So, yes, absolutely.
It's just the backup that for the supported. Like I said, the current, the year that's completed, we have CAFR to reconcile to, but I don't have anything from that point on.
Yes, we could provide that. I mean,
net revenue to total debt, I can pull out of your budget stuff, but it's the equity stuff.
Okay, so then on the water side also would be the five-year capital improvement plan. And, you know, this kind of just ties to what Darren was just saying is, if you know, you look at the last couple of years, to try and improve the health of the fund, you know, we have been decreasing the amount of proposed capital, so we've been postponing projects. So you can see here again, here is we list the east-west main transmission line, but, you know, it's not currently being proposed. Capital fundings went down significantly the last couple of years. Looking specific to fiscal year 18, you know, we're proposing only about $1.3 million in expenditures. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any of the specifics associated with each one of these.
I have a question. The communication fiber.
So what that is that's an ongoing expense. When we did the main transmission line, one of the things that we did is we said our current communication system is somewhat of a, on many parts of our system, an older archaic system, radio communication. So when we put in new line, like with the east-west, we're putting in fiber. So communications to better communicate with our lift stations, our pump stations, our tank levels, the wastewater treatment plant. And so as we're putting some of this infrastructure into the ground, this is a line item to help with that communication system. So as we're, one, putting it in, as two, we're upgrading so that it's more reliable, we can get better information, more real-time information. Some of the shortfalls we've had with the radio communications, the direct line of sight, we've had communication failures, and especially when you get into the water system, we don't have redundancy in some of the systems, and so that becomes even more critical. So this is just an ongoing line item to help support, to continue to help support.
And this
that.
Is only used for the water, not nobody else in town, nothing else uses this. It's strictly for the water. Is that correct?
Well, this is also used for wastewater. The communication side is used for wastewater. It's used to help us connect water and wastewater. There could be other uses for it, I don't know, but I know specifically for water and wastewater it is used.
I just want to be certain we get our share back if other departments are using it. So, okay, my other question had to do with well drilling. What well are we going to be drilling?
I think it's well number four, one of our better producers kind of in the central part of town, and I apologize. We were supposed to do that even last year. It was in our plan to do it, and we keep pushing it out, but we're needing to redrill. We'd really like to redrill, you know, a well, probably need to do it every 3 or 4 years would be ideal.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
I guess this is just more of a statement than a question. I might roll into a question. You know, we have a lot of assets in the water utility. What I'm seeing for capital is pretty minimal, and I get that's a function of the revenue that's coming in. My concern, though, is we're deferring maintenance that is going to come due in the future. Do you guys have a sense, and that's where I guess I was going to roll into a question, do you guys have a sense of what kind of maintenance we are deferring? To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to say, well, we're complying with the policy, but we get to the end and there's a 10-year projection out and we're $15 million upside down, right? I know we've got the little green checkbox on the system reinvestment, but most of that's debt service, right? We're paying off the credit card for the groceries we bought on the credit card. So
I think to help answer that question, because I suspected that may be a question, so I went and grabbed the CIP for the last couple of years. And when you look at the capital improvement plan for water, for 2016, it was $23 million. For 2017, it was $13 million. And now the current is being proposed at $6 million. So it is. I mean, those are activities that we do need to do, but we realize that, you know, there's budget constraints, so we're trying to do the best job we have with the structure that we're given.
And it goes back to our rates. We're built up around a model with projected revenue to come in. And then we had a blip. And we're not the only ones. Everybody around us had the same blip. So now we don't want to react. We want to just sit back and see, was that just a blip? Or what's going to happen in terms of usage in water over the next year or two. And that will help us project moving forward exactly what's going to happen here. Recently, some of the agencies around us, Tumwa to the north specifically, they had the same blip we did. And they said, look, they have the same problem we have. And they said, we got to look forward and we got to fix this. And so they did a two-year rate, 3% a year for 2 years, an adjustment, they called it, to overcome that blip that was caused by people using less water. We're not ready here.
I'm sorry, real quick. Adjustment meaning it was going to revert back at the end of the 2 years, or
no,
it was a permanent adjustment?
It was a permanent adjustment, 3% for 2 years in a row to overcome that. So we're not projecting that. We're not saying that. We're not ready to make that call yet in terms of this is spiraling down and we're not going to come out of it. We really need some more data in terms of usage that's going on. Now we have one of the wettest years that we've had around here, so I don't see any sprinklers running, where last year at this time, sprinklers were running, right? That's where the revenue is coming in is for that irrigation. So those are all moving parts in terms of the future and things, conversations we'll have to have.
And I think that's something we, at our January meeting, we talked about at some point looking at the rates, the water rates and so forth. And, you know, I think we also need to look at hookup charges too, maybe review that and see if it's coming on as we projected or, you know, or not. I notice we have penalties and interest. I imagine we have people who are not paying their water bill. Is penalties and interest, is that being collected, or is that something that's on the books that I know that sometimes it stays there until a house gets sold, I think.
That is correct. We collect it one way or the other, so it will be collected.
I don't think we want to put anybody out of their home.
Yeah, you know? But for the record, we do not write any of that. That doesn't get written off. So it eventually gets collected.
So when we see this penalties and year-to-date actual $786,896, that's what we're talking about. Is that correct? Okay, that was on page one of the worksheet at the top, page one of seven. Yes, a member.
Just to clarify on the delinquencies, is that an accumulation year-to-date?
Yeah, that's a year-to-date number as of December. That was in the actual column.
Is that a normal number?
Accrued over a series of years? Or is it just for 1 year?
No, that's what we collected in 1 year.
Seems like we can make more bang for the buck by bumping up the penalty than the hookup fees.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee?
Are we going back to the worksheet? On the budget preparation worksheet?
Okay.
We're jumping off of the CIP, I guess, now?
Okay.
Remember I had the question on sewer effluent charge? So let's go to page 2 of 7 on the water. On the sewer budget for 2016 actual, we had $59,893 that was charged under other operating charges. On the sewer fund for the water budget, which is about halfway down, we're only showing $7,071. What happened to the balance?
I'll have to look at the actual journal entry that was done, because honestly, I don't know.
Okay. But this is where it should be coming in, right?
I would think so, because it might have been in user fees as well. I'm not sure where it went.
Because the 37
somewhere in water.
The year-to-date actual reconciles to the sewer budget for this year, so I was just curious, unless it was buried someplace else.
That's a really good point, and they should match.
Yeah.
So we'll get to the bottom.
As long as it's in the fund.
Right.
I'm sure it's in the fund. Sure it's somewhere. I don't know if it got put in user fees or where it got put. I'm sure it's in here, but I can look that up and send
you
information.
Are you done, Mike? Still?
Let's see.
Did you have another question?
Yeah, let's see. On the budget again, going up still under other operating charges, we have tapping fee, meter box set, and complete service lateral. Year-to-date collections are $19,127, $36,427, $21,871. But estimated collection for the year dropped. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's just an oversight. We can add that to the budget. It's not a...
Okay.
I mean, we're just being conservative accountants, so we can add
it. Yeah, real conservative.
We can
give
add
money
it.
Away. Okay. That's it for me.
Is that it? Thank you. Okay. Yes, members.
Just a couple observations and follow-ups. Connection fees are less than 1% of our total revenue in the water department. So I think our chairman's comment a minute ago is probably something we should keep in focus. The other thing, just for what it's worth, in the internal calculations for the general fund, insurance, fleet management, etc. For 26, .05 full-time equivalents, it's $50,660 per FTE. Sewer operations was $79,386. And when we get there, storm drain is $129,750 per FTE going to the internal funding mechanism. And I know there's a study that backs this up, but when I look at what storm drain needs to do versus the funds they have, it causes me to wonder. That's all I had.
Any other comments from committee members? If not, any public comment? I see no public comment. So, is somebody ready to make a motion? I will accept it.
Madam Chair,
I move
to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the tentative water fund budget for fiscal year 18 and acknowledge that is consistent with adopted financial policies.
And do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Member Scott. All in favor, say aye.
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 It's unanimous. All right, so we essentially have two stormwater budgets here.
So just to avoid any confusion, this is the budget the budget we're going to present now. This is the budget that we're moving forward and recommending. The other one is a discussion about potential rate increases in the future. But this is the one that we're asking for the approval for the budget process that we've brought to the board.
That's good. Want to start?
Okay, so starting with the financial policies on this, going right to the bottom, again, it looks like we're looking at it the same way as we did the other funds, so we can still adapt this and approve it, but we looked at this as meeting the tentative fiscal policies. Looking at the fiscal summary worksheet, I think this one really speaks for itself. It's a much smaller fund, much more straightforward, simpler. So is there any specific questions you might have with the fiscal summary?
Does anybody here have a question? Member Spell?
Yes. I'm going to wait.
All right. I have a question, a couple of questions. This is 2.5 people, essentially, is what we have in the stormwater department.
Right? Correct.
So, first of all, I'm not sure why we have a separate stormwater department. In other areas, in Reno and so forth, it's all part of the sewer department. Why is ours separate?
Well, this is a program that we'd set back up in 2003. It's actually in the next one, history. So we set this up as a program to deal with it. In the other areas, referring to Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, or even Clark County, they have flood districts. They set up separate accounts. I'm not sure that they are all in the sewer department. They could be part of the streets department also. There's a connection between streets. So it is different than somehow the other ones were set up, but it is something that was adopted by the board back in 2004, I believe, 2003.
So if it was part of the sewer department, wouldn't we have more efficiency of service where would be equipment, fleets, and so forth that could be used by both with, I just think there would be some assistance that could be given to one another if it was all part of the same department.
Well, we do, we share now when we do our projects. We try and share, but for instance, a Camel, which is a vehicle that cleans out storm drains. So we have a Camel and storm drain, and we have a Camel and sewer. But we're not allowed by the state to interchange those because of the material you're picking up. So I can't just buy one piece of equipment and share it back and forth. You get what I'm getting at. So the equipment, and then the only other equipment in storm drain are the sweepers, the street sweepers. Well, you know, that has nothing to do with sewer, so we wouldn't be sharing there anyway. So it's not the goal back in 2003, 2004 was this is a unique utility that needs to stand on its own and be funded on its own to serve as some sort of level of service for stormwater.
But for instance, I don't see fines on here. I went and looked at all the ordinances regarding stormwater, and very few of them are being enforced. I mean, you can't with 2.5 people. It's going to be hard to enforce them, to go out and make sure that the drains, I mean, people buy a piece of property and part of the planning department says, okay, to avoid flooding, you have to put in a drain in the back. And it's up to you to keep it up. And they don't keep it up. And so flooding occurs. And the fact is, with 2.5 people, they can't go check everybody's drain and so forth and find them. There is it's a violation to not keep up with this. And, you know, with 2.5 people, they can't do it. It's a source of revenue that could be utilized if we had 2.5 people. What can you do?
You don't want us to answer that, do you?
I do, as a matter of fact. I mean.
Well, most of what you're bringing up, Madam Chair, is part of the discussion of the next item in terms of the utility, what it is, and what we are proposing it should be.
Right. Well, we have a 5-year projection right now for you in this budget.
Yes.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
And.
Yes.
We have a 5-year projection. Yeah, we have a 5-year CAP.
There's no doubt in my mind that some sort of rate hike is needed, okay? So, you know, but I'm looking at this and I'm seeing that even with our present budget, I think there are some things that could be done that aren't being done, and I'm not sure. I don't know how 2.5 people spend their day. I have no idea. We've just been through a horrible storm, and I'm sure they were busy 24 hours a day, but somehow or other, you know, there needs to be, whether it's working with the building department to go out and check these things, or the planning department, which puts these requirements in when somebody does a project and they're required to put in a drain, who checks for those things?
When it gets built, it gets checked and inspected that it was built properly. As time goes on, who's going around and monitoring it? No one.
Well,
unless we have a complaint.
I was going to say code compliance.
Code compliance, unless there's a complaint.
Well, actually, with a complaint, they won't do anything if it's on private property. They say they can't. They say they're not allowed to. That's not how I read the ordinance at all. And I think that's also part of the planning department, you know, when they put in these requirements, I'm sure that gives the city the right to go in and check, even if it's on somebody's backyard, you know, that it's being kept up.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a property and they are deliberately draining onto a neighboring property and you called code enforcement, we would respond to that, yes, and there could be a citation written or a warning written to that property owner. Yes, that would happen.
No, it didn't, but okay. In any event, you know, I'm just saying that my only point is that I think there are areas where we could bring in some revenue that we're not utilizing. Does anyone else have any questions on this budget?
I'm struggling with this one because you look at Let me take a step back. We've been through an extraordinary year with regard to how much precipitation we've seen. I think city forces have handled it extraordinarily well. I am sure that it didn't get paid for out of the stormwater fund, those responses. But I see, you know, we have almost a non-existent capital plan, but yet we're looking at a budget and we're looking at our financial policies and we're showing we're meeting all of our financial policies. Now I'm going to fast forward to the next agenda item, which I know we're not talking about yet, but that is going to be a discussion on raising rates. So I feel like as a committee member, I'm in a catch-22. We're already meeting our financial policies, but yet we need more money. I don't have a question. It's just more of a statement. I don't know how to reconcile that.
Well, I think this budget is with what we have today.
Correct.
We haven't raised rates the last time. It went up $1, I believe, in 2013, and that was for to pay for debt. That wasn't anything else. It was $1 increase so we could afford some debt to do some projects. So because we haven't had that increase, we're slowly running out of money for capital. We can't do any improvements at this point. That's what this budget is showing you. However, because of the flood, we know there's improvements we need to do. And I think that's what the next item is showing you.
I just want to make one comment on that. And obviously the timing around this is we have the flood. But as you know, this committee's been formed, and every year we talk about the financial policies have changed. Before, when they were nested, we couldn't meet the financial policies, but it was a one-time rate increase versus, you know, a five-year. So we've been talking about the lack of funding. The next presentation is going to show the lack of capital funding. So basically, the revenue generated from the stormwater is going to meet what we have now. But when you look at the five-year CIP, it's unfunded. We can't do the vehicle replacements that we're proposing in fiscal year 20, 21, and 22. So the CIP is planned out 5 years, but we're only looking at the financial policies for next year. So what we're saying is that we meet the financial policies, which is actually a very small reserve, and we'll meet the financial policies for fiscal year 18, but we'll have very, very limited capital money to make any kind of capital improvements. Fiscal year 19, that'll get worse, and by fiscal year 20, we won't have the money to be able to fund these additional projects.
Just kind of a continuing observation, 21% of the budget is tied with interdepartmental transfers, and that seems like something that doesn't help the situation, particularly in light of what we have facing us out there on the ground.
Yeah, I think I was surprised when I saw how much the treasurer's office gets on these. It's and of course she gets three of these funds and has to separate the checks into three on the people's water bills and so forth. So it's, I gather that's extra work. Yeah. So do we have any public comment on this? Okay. Any more discussion from the committee? If not, do I hear a motion to approval of this stormwater fund budget?
Madam Chair, I so move.
Thank you, Member Bowling. Do I hear a second?
Madam Chair, can I make a comment on, because
well,
I have
no,
a concern
actually,
about
actually
this.
Actually, you can't. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, well,
under Robert's rules, you actually can't. And not at the way that we get a second. And then we can go into discussion.
Well, I'll second for the purpose of discussion.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Now we have discussion.
Madam Chair, I have a problem with this budget for numerous reasons. We've discussed and discussed. And let's just start with the financial policies. This budget was never studied. It was never in the analysis for having to meet these goals, as we know. We have annually, you know, system reinvestment funding, collect $295,000 a year. That's not even part of your fee schedule.
I mean, it was not built in, was it, to your fee? So how can we meet that goal?
It's a valid question, and I'm glad you're bringing it up for discussion. But, you know, when we redid the scope of the utility oversight, the decision was made to include this in there. So as staff, we were directed to put this together. And so unless we get other direction, you know, we put this together as here's your financial policies. Here's money that we'd put in a reserve account.
And I have no problem with the O&M and the capital contingency, because you're covered those, no problem. And everybody should have 45 days of O&M. That's just good business practice. But to, you know, say that we're going to put in a system reinvestment funding, which we don't even have built into the system. It puts you guys and us at a bad, and I know we tried to make a broad scope because everybody wanted the whole government entity to be following under one set of financial policies. So that's my concern when it comes to saying on our recommendation that they're in compliance.
Do you feel that they are not in compliance?
I would have to say that they're not in compliance with system reinvestment funding because there's never been anything built into their fee.
Well, and if you'll recall, last year we went before the board and said that we asked them to approve the budget, but we pointed out that it was not in compliance. I mean, we've never hidden anything from the board. What we discuss here is exactly what the board hears.
Continuing the discussion, we do have another agenda item which may bear on the same thing, but potentially a recommendation similar to last year, perhaps coupled with our action on the next item, might be a way to provide the board our concern and at the same time recognize that staff is trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Madam Chair, it might be a little late because we have a motion and a second on the floor, but just from as we're going through this discussion, I'd like to see this item come after our next item, but we're a little late now.
Well, would people like to withdraw their motion and their second? We can do that, can't we? Dan?
You can, Madam Chair.
I'll be happy to withdraw the second in favor of a vote later this meeting.
Randy?
I'm happy to withdraw my motion.
Okay, that said, we will table this for now and move on to the next item on the agenda. Okay,
so with this is a program update and a rate review for stormwater. Also joining us is Rob. He's our stormwater engineer. So Rob has extensive detail and knowledge, more specificity. And Rob, if you want to sit up front if we have questions. So what we want to do is go over just an outline. We're going to talk about the current program and then what we would propose for a program. So under the current, we'll give you some generalities, the timeline kind of back from when it started in 2004 and some of the significant accomplishments that we've done. Because there's been a lot of good things done with the stormwater program. We talk about the area that's going to be covered and kind of how the flows are working within the program and why the costs are as they are. Components of the program, and we spend some time on this because in the proposed we try and break this out. We try and give you an idea of what's associated with the program, and then that last item is expenditures by the program. So we show kind of where the money is going. And these are flyers. It's from information that's been updated, but flyers we put out as part of the stormwater management program. And, you know, we have actually quite a bit of detail on that. And then, of course, in the proposed side, you know, why are we doing this? The strategic objectives set by the board, that's why we're having this discussion now. The typical program costs, the proposed capital improvement plan, trying to look out over a 10-year period, something a little longer than 5 years. 10 years is a hard time to project out for, but trying to give you some ideas of some of the projects up and coming that we would propose to be done, and then looking at what kind of a rate structure would need to support that program. So looking at a little bit of the history, I want to talk about these three elements. I'm not going to go into great detail about them, but the National Flood Insurance Program, Community Rating Service, and Municipal Stormwater. Why do we do a stormwater, Chairman? It goes kind of back to your question, you know, about the program. And this was adopted, and these are the elements that were adopted back when the board approved it, in the National Flood Insurance Program. There's a whole bunch of information, and Rob could probably spend hours talking about this, but the high level is this is a FEMA program, and what it does is it offers discount rate, or it offers rates, flood insurance rates, to people who live in a flood zone. You can get insurance. There's many other things that this does, and if you go to the website, we have a link to it that is part of a stormwater program, stormwater management program, that gives much more detail. But we're going to hear about this a lot, so I wanted to bring this term up. The other thing that I think is really important, because we just went through it, and this is part of why it was adopted, because you qualify for disaster assistance. If we didn't agree to doing these type of activities, this is a voluntary program. If we chose not to do it, you know, insurance offerings to the citizens and qualifying for disaster assistance, which we're under right now with FEMA, we wouldn't qualify for that. Community rating system, this is another enhanced FEMA program that it exceeds the NFIP requirements, and it qualifies us for other type of federal assistance programs. You know, we've done a lot of good things. We've brought this community service rating down to help make discount insurance to people more affordable in the community. And you'll see that in the timeline. There's been significant achievements. And then the other item, which we'll talk about, is MS4, which is a municipal separate stormwater, four S's in there. Municipal separate storm sewer system, MS4. And this is a permit issued through NDEP, and it has to do, you know, like street sweepers. And we have to do certain things under our stormwater management program, and these are mandated. So these are to help protect water quality. There's a whole list of other activities. These are just a quick summary of them. But I want to bring these four items up, or three items up, because we talk more about them. So I kept saying 2004. First stormwater permit was issued back in 2002. In 2003, the stormwater plan was adopted and the utility was formed. So that was back in late 2003. Of course, then we had the waterfall fire on the west side back in 2004. We had another significant event, obviously, the New Year's flood back in 2005. From that up by the hospital, you know, some items completed. You know, most people don't even realize when you go up by the hospital, there's a series of basins up there, stormwater management basins. They've made walking trails around it. They've enhanced the area, but it serves a significant flood structure that when you go up there now and during these floods, it was a huge benefit to that entire area. So back from the 2005, the Coons Canyon Basin, again, you know, people use it for recreational activities back there and stuff, but there was a huge amount of infrastructure put in because of that 2005 flood. This is significant because FEMA reviewed against that CRS. We lower the rating in a couple years after 2008. We actually got a lower rating, which provides assistance to the citizens, discounts to the citizens. And you'll see in this timeline quite a few activities. We talk about remapping of VC Canyon, Ash Canyon, Kings Canyon. This is to update the maps. It helps the community as a whole to understand where the flood areas are. And, you know, some of the FEMA maps maybe weren't that updated, and we spend an enormous amount of staff time going through, Rob spends an enormous amount of staff time going through and getting these maps updated and working with FEMA for the benefit of, one, recovery from some of the flood activities that were happening, and then, two, you know, to help provide discounts and reduce costs to the citizens. The Carson River Watershed Regional Flood Management Program, again, it's a partnership program with the Water Subconservancy. We're working with the Water Subconservancy. There's a lot of activities that happen on the river. In Carson City, of course, flooding isn't just around the river. We have a lot of tributaries, a lot of flood that comes off the hills. But, you know, this is an activity that we did with the Subconservancy. DFIRM, again, it's just if you look at the definition down below, but this is significant because really what this has to do with digitizing, taking some of the older FEMA records and updating them to help us identify where there are problems in our area so that we can improve them. Regional hydrology study begins. That's significant. This is the CRS rating to a 6. It was an 8 below before?
Was
an 8. So really, this CRS definition, when it went down, that means it's an offered additional discount on flood insurance to homeowners. So the more of these floodplain management activities that we can do, the more benefit is to the community and to the citizens. MS4, that's permit, the permit from NDEP. And the reason we put it in here is because every time our permits renew, new activities come, new things that we need to do. We're in the process of finalizing our stormwater management plan update. Again, as new permits come along, more requirements, more activities, typically more costs associated with it. Survey control network, that's significant because it's just identifying things that our survey, our elevations, our controls for all of our elevations were never completed. And that's important for flood mapping, and that was a project that was completed as part of this process. We updated the municipal code back in 2011. This risk map charter was completed in 2012. There's more activities here about remapping again of the area south of 5th Street. We talk about some of these specific areas. Again, the remapping of the Carson City begins. Remapping of Ash Kings Canyon Watershed, Eagle Valley Golf Course, Gonai Creek, 5th Street. We list all those because as we get into those areas, a lot of people come out of the flood zone. That's a benefit to living in a flood zone. Some people do go back in, I mean, because we have to update the maps. Some people do go back in, but the majority come back out. So that's a benefit to the citizens, and that's a huge amount of staff resource time. Of course, in the beginning, January, February floods, we saw the floods. We're in the process of updating our stormwater management plan. Rob's had multiple public presentations on this, and we're in the process of just wrapping that improvement up right now. And then we're in the process of starting the remapping for the freeway. And of course, 2018, we're going to be moving into the recovery phase for this current flood. So again, looking at Carson City as a whole, you see the red lines here. They dictate, they show the outline of the municipal Carson City, and then these are the various sub-basins, water sub-basins associated with Carson. This shows you the flows of water and how basically everything comes off the west side and from the north and ends up down toward the river. Shows you the various flood patterns that we have. And then this is important because we have a very large area to cover. You see the outline in the yellow. It's about 21,000 acres. And the reason we do this is because I'll show you in the next slide, one way to look at cost per acre. That's a way to kind of normalize some of the activities. And so we talk about the 21,000 acres and where some of our costs are going. So right now, the components of the management program broken up into these five different areas: stormwater quality, floodplain management, debt service, operation and maintenance, and capital improvements. Just a brief summary of associated with each one of these. You know, we talked a little about the stormwater quality, which of course is the MS4 permit. There's a series of activities associated with it, best management practices. I won't get into details, but of course on the website there's a lot more information about what we do with stormwater quality. Floodplain management, that's the National Flood Insurance Program and the CRS. There's a lot of requirements and activities associated with it. I won't go into detail, but again, if you go on the website, you can see what kind of activities are really going into floodplain management. Debt service, you're going to see in some of these slides, we're paying a lot of money right now for debt service. Operation and maintenance pays the salaries, the benefits, services and supplies. Depreciation is in there. It's a non-cash expense. It shouldn't be in there listed. But service supplies, salaries, and benefits. Currently on our fund, there's just under 2.5 full-time employees equivalents. And then, of course, the capital improvements. And that's where, when we get into this, our current funding structure, the availability money for capital improvements is you know, getting less and less. And eventually, there's not going to be money there available. So we talked about the program components here: stormwater quality, floodplain, debt service, O&M, and capital improvements. And this is a pie chart of just trying to graphically show kind of where we see the money going. And when you look at up here in the corner, stormwater quality management and floodplain management, these are approximations. We tried to look at our O&M expenses and say, where's that money going? And we try and put it into these program components so citizens better understand where their money's going. And you see this green chunk here, that's a large component, that's paying for the debt service. And then the operation and maintenance cost, the additional operation and maintenance cost. In this case, for fiscal year 17, you know, we have about $275,000 available for capital improvements. And then Commissioner Spell, this is kind of going to your question. We pulled out that reserve chunk because we're saying, you know, we viewed this as we were being asked to put these reserves in on hold. So we're pulling out $270,000 to put in reserves. So when you look at this, the expenses, you know, you're looking at about $1.5 million in expenses and $270,000 in reserves for a total of about $1.7 million. This is put in here because this is the, I want to show the total, the number of properties by classification. So in other words, for Carson City, we have about 16,653 properties. On the right-hand side, single-family property, multifamily, public, this is how the charges are done, manufacturing and commercial. And so what it does is it gives you an idea. Of the 16,000, the majority of these, 15,000, 90% of it, comes from single-family property. About 2% or 339 come from multifamily property. Only 1% or 102 of them come from public property. The manufacturing, there's 277 or 2%. And then, of course, commercial pay, the number of properties is about 5%, 892. So it gives you an idea of the classifications, and really the majority of it is from the single families. So rate review, I tried to find a picture with a lot of ones in there, but I see a couple hundred slipped in. So try to find some ones.
You got too much money in that picture. Yeah.
So why are we even having this discussion? I mean, why? And I think, Commissioner, it sort of goes back to your question. These are strategic goals that were approved by the board, and the bottom one, which is sustainable infrastructure. Develop and maintain a sustainable public infrastructure to meet the current and future needs of the community. And then when you look at the specific sustainable infrastructure, under the objectives and strategies, create an executable funding plan for city capital, including equipment, facilities, fleet, infrastructure, and other city assets. And that's what we're trying to propose here, is a sustainable plan moving forward. And stormwater is a component of it. You see the last item down there, which is provide a conveyance and drainage system to maintain a controlled flow of stormwater. So that's why we're talking about this. Now, when I was talking about the acreage that we're covering, the 21,000 acres, this is a generality, but it's trying to show what you get for different types of programs. So if you're in the neighborhood of $15 to $30 per acre, you know, looking at your total, what you're bringing in, your total cost per acre, that gives you basically some regulations. You know, you got to meet your regulations. And it gives you reactive maintenance. So when something breaks, then it's reactive from that point. When you step up a level into what we would call a minimum level, you start adding in some maintenance. You start adding some inspections. You look at staff. Somebody has to do that. So you start looking at staff. And then, of course, erosion control. When you get into a moderate program, you start adding in increased levels of maintenance and levels of service associated with the fund. You start looking at increased inspection. Planning is a big component of this next level. Start doing more future planning. When, you know, we showed the five-year capital plan in the last item, but there's not current funding available for the equipment replacement. I mean, it's a planning option. We plan out 5 years, but we only budget for the next fiscal year. So there's enhanced planning. There's minor capital included, and, of course, the capability upgrades. When you get into the improved area, you start looking at a lot more system maintenance, master planning, regional treatment, water quality, data collection. Start looking at where you can start making improvements to the system. It enhances into the planning side of it. And then there's much more program control. Of course, and then in the advanced, there's many more activities that are associated with the advanced elements of it. But what I wanted to show here is when we started the program back in 2004 when the rates were first established, that put us basically in the incidental, enough to meet regulations and some reactive controls. Currently, our funding structure is at the low end of the moderate. And it shows you this is what we're getting for level of service at about $64 an acre. And, you know, when we're out in the field, unrelated to these activities that just happened, but year over year when we've had multiple rain events, and, you know, we have our storm crews out there. We have the street crews, the sewer crews, the water crews, you know, preventing, trying to get the resiliency, the community back and running. And we're hearing from the people itself that, you know, we want more. And so this is what we're putting together to try and meet some of those needs. And then what we're proposing is to put us basically not in the advanced, not in the high end of the approved, but, you know, probably about midway into the improved. And it's going to increase the cost upwards of about $126 an acre to provide these type of services. So moving on, what kind of things would we need to do? So here is a 10-year proposed 10-year capital plan. You can see this is much different than the 5-year capital plan that we'd put together. This is just a proposed 10-year capital plan that lists 21 different items, and it's about $9.7 million in needs. And that 9.7 is going to have to come. We have to have revenue somehow to pay for that. So this, there's 21 stars here. What this is just a high-level overview over those sub-basins to kind of show you where, you know, this is a citywide program. It's not just to one area. It's a citywide program talking about making these improvements. And then this is just a description of what some of these are to kind of give you a flavor. They were randomly picked. But, like, the fifth item on the capital improvement is the Carson Street storm drain improvements from 5th to Stewart. Rob can go into great detail if you want to know what some of these improvements would entail, but it's about $2 million in needs. And this shows, I mean, I think if we had some pictures at night during the flood, I mean, this whole commercial complex, that's where all the water ends up flowing. So there's definite improvement needs. Item number 7 is up north on North Carson Street at Nye. Everyone knows where the Starbucks is there. And that's that big detention basin. And, you know, we would like to put some channels and berms in there to help slow that flow of water. And as we saw this year, you know, that fills up and then it drains, and the infrastructure below it can't handle that kind of flow. It's not designed to handle that flow. So then it flows out into the street. It flows out into the businesses associated with it. So that's one relatively inexpensive improvement we can make to help slow down that flow of water. Number 8, these are pieces of flood emergency equipment for about $450,000. We took this picture here because when we had all that water running down King Street, it was a massive amount of water this time. And we have these are called Triton barriers. And these are something that we got 12 years ago.
2005.
And they're quick deployed units. I mean, if we had to put out enough sand, we have a sandbagging plan, but as part of our sandbagging plan, we have this equipment that now is in need of repair. I mean, a lot of this equipment didn't work right. We can't hook together. You can see actually these Triton barriers, you know, have forklift holes in them. They're not really even designed for this, but we made them work. We have to reinvest in the infrastructure for floods. And, you know, putting out these quick deployable type activities, this is an example of one of them, we need to start repairing. We need to start replacing these pieces of equipment. Number 9 here is Anderson Ranch. As you know, going up King Street, this is where this whole thing was overrun last time. And so this is a picture. There's a road that just north of those homes there that we need to make improvement access to the roads and the drain there. You can see this. There, again, just improvements that we need to make to the system.
Excuse me, Dave. Are these in priority?
No. Yeah. No. Listed in priority? Relative priority, yes. No?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Relative priority. It's hard when you're looking out 10 years and some of them. And the ones that we're describing here are just some ones that, some people had some general interest in, so we thought we'd include them instead of going through each one. Number 10 is storm drain fleet. This is $1 million. So in our 5-year CIP, we showed, $800,000 worth of equipment. Well, when you go out 10 years, that equipment, the camels, the sweeper trucks, those have to be replaced. They're on their last legs now, and they're not sustainable. So the funding to replace this is not there. So there's $1 million needed just to fund that equipment. Picture of one of the VACON trucks. And then just item number 20 here is North Carson Street. Again, when the basin, if you were up on North Carson Street, that's just an infrastructure. It was never designed to take really any kind of flows. It's a two-year flood event. Mm-hmm. We'd like to upgrade the system to help improve the resiliency of the community, get them back on feet to a 5-year type activity?
5 or 10.
5 to 10 year activity. It's not going to handle a 100-year flood, but it's going to improve. And this is just a picture of the area that was overrun. Every time we have storms up on that area, it is overrun.
Excuse me, Dave. The people that were here under public comment, is their area on this list?
Yeah, number 21. Okay, so you guys already probably jumped to the last page. So this is what, in other words, to do some of these activities, what's it going to take? And this is our current rate plan that we have right now. It's a monthly rate plan. And it's broken out by the property classification, single family, multifamily. We showed you where that was coming for. Here's the current rates. The current rates are $4.38 per month for the single family, $22.56 for the multifamily. So in essence, the approximate annual revenue from this is about just under $1.4 million. So I'm going to show you some slides coming up. $1.4 million is going to sustain. We'd propose that there'd be a two-year rate increase. In order to generate the additional revenue to help, one, offset some additional operating costs, and two, to really focus in on the capital side of things. So proposed for fiscal year 18 would be a rate increase to generate about $1.9 million, and then in fiscal year 19, a second rate increase. And you can see the current generates about $1.4 million, and the proposed is a little over 2.7. It's about a $1.3 million increased revenue to help fund some of these ongoing activities. So this pie chart gives you an example. Looking at next fiscal year 18, gives you an example of where some of these expenditures would go. And you can see that the capital improvements would be a very small component. And one of the things I just want to note, because if you try and align it to the spreadsheet, we didn't have any capital improvements in next year. But what we wanted to do is keep the financial reserve consistent in these comparisons. Normally, it would go into a financial reserve, and then we use it. But for comparative purposes, we wanted to keep the financial reserve held constant, and that's why you see the $74,000 in capital. It would go into a reserve, and we would use it in a capital item. So really, what that comes to is about just under $1.7 million. So with the proposed rate increase, it would generate about $2.3 million. And again, the stormwater quality component would stay relatively the same. The floodplain management would stay the same. Debt service would stay the same. But there'd be an increase in operation and maintenance to help us to get into some of that improved areas. You know, as I described, what do you get for some additional resources? You get some additional inspection. You get additional planning. You get additional activities that are operation and operations oriented. Could be professional services, cleaning of ditches. I mean, there's a lot of activities that could be associated with that. But the largest chunk by far goes into capital improvements, and that's the $9.7 million over a 10-year phase to start funding some of those activities. So this is looking at fiscal year 18. This pie chart does the same thing, looking at fiscal year 19. So again, if there was no rate increase, this is approximately where the money would go, which would be about $1.9 million. And then with the proposed rate increase, you can see the relative comparison between the two. And so the majority of that, of course, look at the blue section, the majority of that goes into capital improvements, starting to make, you know, improvements to the system. So just to summarize this, here's our existing plan. Our existing plan generates about $1.4 million in revenue. It supports the moderate program, kind of gives you an idea of what it supports. Capital improvements moving forward, they're limited, and eventually they will be none. And this is, I think the important bullet point here is not self-sustaining enterprise fund. So in other words, when we start getting into fiscal year 20 and start looking at, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 in a piece of equipment, if we don't take a proactive approach now, that equipment won't be running, and then we're not going to meet our permit requirements. So there's going to need to be a funding mechanism to bring that into play. So as part of the proposed rate plan, this is generating about $1.3 million in additional money. So So it's the commitment to pay the debt service, the existing requirements that we have. This brings in about $1.3 million after phase-in. It supports the improved program. So those are the elements that we would get some benefit out of, the community would get benefit out of, because it's not just sustaining the moderate program. It's moving us to a more sustainable program. It supports a 10-year capital improvement plan with supports of the operation side, supports citywide improvements. It's not located to just one specific area. It's throughout the city. And I think the really important thing here is this last item, and this is pay as you go. You know, one of the things that we see on this is we relied heavily on debt service. And debt service is a way to help keep the costs down, but you got to pay that debt service over 10 or 20 years, and we're going to be paying on those bonds for a long time. So our proposal is that, you know, we want to rely on less on debt service, but that's going to be an increased cost, a monthly cost to the consumers. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. But what this does is it's a pay-as-you-go system. It's not relying on debt service. So with that said, I mean, that's a high-level overview of this, and I'm sure you have lots of questions, and I have Rob here to answer them.
Committee, questions?
This is, I guess, not terribly relevant, but I am curious. What is the debt service paying off right now? When does it, when are we going to have it paid off?
Well, there's currently there's four. Let me pull that spreadsheet.
There's just for a quick high level overview. There's four currently that are being paid off. The first one gets reduced in about 9 years from now, okay. And then from there on out, there's one that was just done, I think
last year.
Yeah. So that obviously we've got
2025.
2025 is when the first one
when
drops off. Yeah.
And what are those projects? What were those bonds paying for? What did they fund?
Mike, they were mainly paying for the Northwest drainage projects, everything associated with the freeway.
Rob,
the basins.
Could you just give your name so that Kathy can follow the voice?
Rob Fellows, stormwater engineer. So when the freeway was contemplated, there was improvements related to that the city was bound to do, and those bond funds paid for those improvements.
Member Spell?
Yeah, Rob, I'll just go back to David. You were talking about maybe not being able to get recertification on some of our permits because we're not gonna be able to replace equipment and such. Was that correct? Did I hear you right?
So what I was saying is on our current five-year capital plan in year 2020, there is one of the, I believe it was one of the sweepers. No, I think it was the camel truck. There needs to be replacement on some of the equipment. So in our fleet management program, part of our asset management, you know, we look at our current usage. We look at the repair costs associated with it. As the infrastructure ages, there's more operational costs associated with it. But that's a recommendation from fleet to be able to start replacing some of this equipment, because it'll exceed its useful life. So, yes.
But it can impact some of your certification permitting process. So if that's the case, would that also have an impact on people's insurance premiums, a negative impact?
Yes. So under the CRS program and under the MS4, there's a stormwater maintenance component. And currently we're getting credit for that. And if that drops off, then we could drop.
So in the long run, it could cost
those
people more money.
That's right.
Thank you.
I'm concerned about rate design. Excuse me. How did you come up with these rates?
These rates were established back in 2004. The increases. Well, what we looked at is it's a compilation of hearing what, especially like as Rob's out in their field, maybe you can explain it better, but just where some of these significant needs are. There's many more needs out there than this, but these are relative prioritized needs.
I'm talking about rate design, the numbers, how you came up with $2 or $4 or what percentage, how you came up with that.
So what we looked at is we have the prioritized, the $9.7 million in needs for the capital projects. And so we said, how do we get $9.7 million? There's additional operating side of activities, you know, associated like professional services and stuff. So it was looking at, we played with different options. We went with 5 years, we went with 1 year, and we came up with 2 years as a, you know, it's an approach to try and minimize the continued impact. You know, like we did a five-year rate in plan for water and sewer, and every July 1, we hear from the consumers about it. I get it that, you know, this is an impact and no one wants rates to go up, but on the flip side, if rates don't go up, we have a non-sustainable program.
I have a real concern with how this was done. Did you look at a possibility of a dollar rate hike the first year, $2 the second year, and another $2 the third year?
We looked at multiple options. We can do that. Now, again, if we want to do a 10-year CIP and we delay, then the items on the bottom of the CIP fall off. Or we reprioritize based on, you know, policy direction. But the sooner that we implement rates, the better off we are, especially as we start looking at some of the equipment and the repair of what we have.
Well, I see the high number we have in penalties and interest and so forth from people not paying their water bill. And, of course, the more it goes up, I think the bigger the number that's going to be also. My concern is that, you know, they're going to get hit with this, what, 6.5% hike in July and also this $2 and some odd cent addition on the bill. I'm very concerned about how that's going to hit the average person who is having a lot of trouble paying their water bill. You know, I would have been happier if we'd gotten some choices here. I would have been happier if we'd had some notice so that we could have a public hearing and hear from the public. And we have a lot of people in this community that are pretty smart and do rate design at the Public Utilities Commission and so forth that might have been able to give us some suggestions. So this is my concern, is that, you know, I have no doubt about your needs. I'm not doubting that at all. I know they're needed. And there's no doubt that we need to do a rate hike. My concern is how we're doing it. To take a motion before the Board of Supervisors and say this is the best possible rate design that we think you should adopt, I'm not uncomfortable with that because we're not looking at anything else. We're only looking at one set. Even when you did the whole five-year water thing, the board had choices. The consultant gave them choices. You know, it wasn't a standard do it this way or not at all. There were choices for the board to make. I'm uncomfortable that we have no choices. I'm uncomfortable that we're sort of backed into a corner. We definitely want to get these things done, but I'm also concerned about the people having to pay the bills and what's feasible. So that's why I asked if we did this in good rate design, you always start off as slow as possible and build. And so that's why I was hoping we could do something that was more along maybe a dollar the first year and then build. I really felt this committee deserved some choices.
We're very open to discussion and alternatives. What David did and what the team did was what are our needs? What do we need to do? And then we backed into the rate. And it sounds like what I'm hearing is you're mostly concerned with the phase-in portion of the rate. So I get that, but it was under my direction that what have we done in the past, what worked, what didn't work, let's come up with the best, our idea of what is the best for that, knowing very well that between this committee and the Board of Supervisors, that can change. But as soon as I give you five options to choose from, and I give somebody else five options to choose from, We're gonna end up somewhere. The idea of what came before you today is staff's best
all the knowledge we have put together that this is going to prove the best. If we have to phase this in over 5 years, we can do that. We can make that work. But what we recommended was this is what we felt was the best from us. And I don't feel like there's any wrong with a recommendation from this committee back to us that we do not like the 2-year phase in. We would like to see it over 4 years, and that would be your recommendation going up.
Well, I think what I was talking about was 3 years.
Okay.
Okay, because the public's going to get hit with a 6.5% rate hike July 1st, and then that stops. So then it's a bit easier in the following years to add on these other rates. That's my thinking. And again, I have not discussed this with any members of the committee. This is all new to them. So, but this is an area where I have been involved at the Public Utilities Commission, the Public Service Commission, and so forth. And I had really expected that when we got to the area of discussing rates, that it wouldn't just be a fast thing, that it would be something where we would look at it and hold a public hearing and get input from the public. Because once you do that, then the public owns it. There are fewer complaints, you know, if you stop and hear.
We would be, and if holding a public hearing, public open house, if that's something that this committee feels strongly about, we could do that in the next couple of months. We did have one of those a year and a half ago when this had forward momentum. Other things got in our way. We did hope for some more public here today. This has been agendized and it was noticed and everybody is aware of it. But that's certainly a recommendation that you could send us to do, and we would do it.
Not having discussed this with our chairperson, I guess my reaction is slightly different. I think, you know, as a commercial property owner, in the wintertime, I find my storm drain element of my sewer or my utilities bill is pretty significant. But I think the biggest concern here is really the individual residential folks. And when I look at $2 a month increase 1 year and then essentially $2 a month the second year, I'm not overwhelmed by that personally in terms of whether it's $1.50, $1.50, and $1 or something like that. I think for the most part, I would see that as less critical than taking advantage of people's awareness to really understand what the needs are. I mean, we have huge needs out there. This list of 21, you know, capital improvement plan elements with almost $10 million budget is sort of a drop in the bucket. I mean, that'll make a huge difference. But at the same time, we have a lot of other areas that I think we can, you know, we could put monies into. This is a resource issue in my mind in many ways. And we have regulatory elements which we need to keep, and FEMA is there with not exactly a velvet hammer, but certainly a hammer that can be difficult, and you run into that in different places. So personally, I'm not, you know, I'm open to discussion, but I'm not as concerned about the $2 a month followed by $2 a month over 2 years for residential folks, because I think right now the residential is a pretty limited amount of impact on a person in their utility picture or in their overall ownership of a residence picture. And frankly, I think the need is sooner rather than later.
And I think that's why I was hoping that I could see something else besides the $2, that, you know, what would be the effect of $1 the first year and $2 the second year or $2.50. I'm not as concerned what happens the second year because there's not going to be a rate increase. it's hitting the rate increase with this increase. That's my concern. So, and I agree, time is of the essence. We need to get moving. FEMA's important.
We could offer maybe if trying to keep it separate from the water rate increasing, you could do a dollar in year one and then do the balance the second year. I mean, that's certainly an option. Everything is on the table here today. We sincerely mean that. I also want to clarify something that was brought up by Bruce, in that Rob, we did not start with a 10-year $10 million CIP. We started with something much higher, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of the work that staff has done to bring this forward into something that was reasonable for our community in terms of what we get done, the amount of projects, to where we can make a difference. In reality, yes, we could be sticking $20 or $30 million towards this program over the next 10 years very easily. There's needs there that would support that. So, but we did try to keep in mind the impact that we would have towards the community. So that did go into this final product that you have.
Well, I think I tend to land on the same side as Bruce. Chairwoman Engel, I see your point, your concern about multiple increases, but I mean, life costs in life increase. I mean, my health insurance goes up, my gas bill goes up, my property taxes go up, and nobody waits to say, well, you know, you got a bump in your water bill, so we're not going to increase the other things this year. So it's a pretty small number. I'm frankly very relieved to see this going forward. It's been a concern of mine every time we vote or we talk about the Stormwater Fund. Like I say, we're meeting those targets, but the targets don't tell the whole story. So now we're starting to tell the whole story. It's been agendized, as Darren pointed out. It hit the first front page of the newspaper this morning. The only public comment we had relative to this item was somebody in support of it and wanting to know when a project was going to happen near their house because they're being impacted by it. I personally get the sense of, yeah, we'd like to see more options, but at the end of the day, we need to provide the revenue to do what we need to do for the fund, and this is a step in that direction, so I'd like to see it move forward.
And again, I would not be unhappy with a dollar the first year and then the balance the second year.
I could support that. I personally would not like to see it go past the 2 years. I think we've waited long enough.
Mike?
Darren, I'm glad you brought up the 10-year capital plan, that this is what's been whittled down, kind of our bare essential, right? Real essential. These are critical projects. Let's say after 10 years, how much remediation are we really going to see if we have another really bad flood? Will there be enough, outcry that, hey, geez, you doubled my rates, and I still don't see that much? That the $4 doesn't mean anything to me, but it's press publicity. Doubled their rates, and what did we get for it? Is this maybe not even enough to really have a significant impact if we have serious flooding again?
That's a good question, and I'm sure none of us completely want to go on the record with answering it, but after 10 years of investing $10 million in capital projects into the system, as well as the bump in operations, so the operations side is very critical too in terms of maintaining the current systems that we have. There's ditches all over town that have never been cleaned. So that's integral too. So at the end of 10 years, this is all done, this is built, this program is going, and we have the same storm that we just had. The normal resident of Carson City is in fact going to see a substantial difference in the damage that is caused by floodwater.
And that was a question I was going to ask earlier. Who is responsible for cleaning our culverts? And if we only have two people in this department, are you still responsible for these culverts?
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's so then it's just the calls and the response to it. Mm-hmm. The other thing, you know, David mentioned just in terms of this last event is we're getting a lot of interest in our streets department. Well, streets have been covering and helping storm drain for years and years and years because, as you said, 2.3 FTEs, it just doesn't get it done. So it's one more reason to try and really establish this as a standalone enterprise fund that they're doing. They're working on the things that they should be working. It doesn't mean our streets crews won't work on storm drain projects, but just like we do in our other funds, there should be a tabulation of that, and that should get charged to storm drain, and they should reimburse our streets division. That would be the plan moving forward.
Randy?
It's interesting to see the variety of comments. In a prior life, when I was consulting, Rob knows, it was, I think, when our firm was retained, along with an individual from the state of Washington who did nothing but establish stormwater utilities across the U.S. I think it was before Darren was here. It was before Dave. Rob's been here since water was invented, so he's well aware of it. But we did a lot of the analysis back then of where's the cause? And it primarily came from large impervious surfaces, parking lots, car dealerships. Well, that's the engineering side of things. Then when you get down to, okay, now who's going to pay? Well, you saw the result of the analysis. It's a political decision, and rightfully so. The monthly rates based on the type of land use is what came out of the sausage-making process. It's what we have. But what we also have is the fact we need money to do projects. Otherwise, the danger is just going to increase year after year after year. So I'm in agreement that we should get as much done as we can, as quickly as we can. I'd love for it to be free, but it's not going to be free. We have to pay for it. And the sooner we can address these problems and issues now, I think the more quickly we can get on a corrected road so we don't have to look back to, geez, I wish we would have done this sooner. So I guess the focus of this diatribe is I think we have to take some action, and I think we have to get revenue into the stormwater fund.
Just one observation that I think sometimes gets overlooked when we focus on where the problems were. We had a lot of things that went really well with the storm drain, or the storm we had, storms we had, and the system that we had in place. And you know, we had a lot of water in King Street, but we didn't have that much sediment. We didn't have a storm drain on Washington Street full of sediment that took months to clean out and thousands of dollars. We have some, obviously, a lot of sensitive areas, but I think the drainage up, you know, on the water company property in Kings Canyon worked extremely well. And incidentally, you know, as a recharge program, maybe the water utility should think about that. You know, there's a lot of things that worked well. The NDOT did tremendous things for this community in their freeway construction. We got storm drain detention, 100-year storm drain detention, in a lot of areas in a lot of watersheds. So now is a time when we can focus on where we didn't have improvements and where we need them. But I think we have to remember a lot of things worked pretty well, and a lot of people worked very well. I mean, the city's organization from the 87 flood on, you know, when the Attorney General's office became a conduit for water flowing down King Street. You know, I mean, the mobilization and the steps that were taken by the city to manage the runoff, some of which came, you know, significantly, some of which didn't come quite so significantly in areas, but it was done very well. And so we need to keep that momentum, and we need to focus on the fact that these events have allowed people to see we still have a lot to do. When it's dry and nothing's happening, you know, you forget about it. A year later, it's just all in the past. So I think there's two sides to this, but I think we're only just the first few steps into the process of really helping this community to be solidified as far as a whole lot more flood resistant, in particularly the areas where we've had some problems. And a lot of the problems are not huge, but, you know, there's some that are pretty significant. There also may be some opportunities for cost-sharing grants and other things that we can utilize for water quality benefits or sedimentation benefits or other related aspects. So that's not factored in here, and I don't think it should be, but it may be a way that staff can make the money go further.
Well, I came in here today prepared to not accept a motion on the rate hike, which is my purview under Robert's Rules of Order. I would consider, though, listening to all of you, a rate hike that started with a dollar and then went the whole way the second year.
Since we're on discussion without a motion, how about a dollar, $2, and $2 over a three-year program and a five-year number total?
Staff, what do you think about that?
I just want to make sure. So when you're talking a dollar, you're not talking a dollar across the board. You're just keeping the – what we did is we kept the relative proportions the same and increased it on a percentage basis, of course.
I was talking single family.
So single family. So if I can just give you some general ideas.
You should probably look at it in terms of a percentage of the total increase.
Right. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just approximately. So there. So a $1 increase would generate, the first year would generate about $350,000. So
when you
then,
say a dollar, Dave, are you just talking residential?
Yes. So in other words, a 25% increase would take a residential from $4.38 to $5.48. And that would generate about $351,000 the first year. And so there would have to be a 50% increase the second year approximately to make up that difference.
It'd be about 40% of the bigger number, I think.
It should be 55.
Yeah. Because we, what was that?
Because it was before, it was 40, it was basically a 40% and a 40% increase, 2 years of 40%. So to keep the first year at a dollar for residential, that basically equates to a 25% increase,
right,
for year one. So to make up the remainder of that, year two goes to 55%. If there's discussion about moving less into year two and putting into year three, then you could reduce the 55 and put some in that third year as an alternative.
That might even, if we went with a 1, 2, and 2, that would actually get you a little bit more, wouldn't it?
So if we did a 25% and then we did a 40% and then a 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would generate $2 million as compared to the 1.3.
Right.
So we would get there faster in terms of our capital plan. As you notice, with no bonds or no debt, as David referred to, several of those projects, a couple of years, we're not doing any projects because we're saving up our money to do the big projects. So this would get you there quicker in terms of building projects.
So if we went that route, and I'm not opposed to it, but it is significantly more than what has been put in front of us as we get to the third year. I would like to throw out that I'd like to see us paying off debt with that delta first. That what you're showing on your, and I'm just again looking at single family, fiscal year 19, you got $8.58, and in this one, by the time you get to fiscal year 20, you're at 1074. So that delta between 858 and 1074, I'd like to see that going to debt service to pay down the debt faster. That reinforces our pay as you go.
Yeah, I have to look at the debt ordinance because if we pay things off early, a lot of times we have penalties that are above and beyond the savings of not paying them off early.
Fair enough.
Can we do a different rate for a single family than the other, than multifamily and commercial and manufacturing? I mean, can we keep multifamily, commercial, and manufacturing where they are and do a different rate for single family?
I mean, anything's possible. What we tried to do was keep the existing rate structure. We tried to work at this in-house, you know, so we didn't have to hire a rate consultant to do a full rate study. And anytime we start changing, you know, ratios and stuff, absolutely we can do it. We tried to minimize that. But I think ultimately it's policy direction. And
that goes back to Member Bowling's comment earlier in 2003 when this came together and a full-blown rate study was done. That's when those distributions were determined. That's what made sense. That's who were impacting the system. So when we, as David said, when we came around and did it this time, we kept those. We didn't tweak those numbers at all. We left those alone.
I think you're talking about Pandora's box when you do that.
I agree with you, Bruce. I think that distribution has been set in the past based on analysis. And now if we go start twisting the dials, we get into a subjective zone that I don't think we want to be a part of.
If we go there, I would much rather have a rate consultant here presenting.
So, what's the feeling of the committee members?
Well, I would like to. We threw a number at the wall. I'd like to hear from staff. This is larger than what they had come to us with.
Right. Or what?
Which
about
it's been recognized that it's a need. But what is your feeling? What could you do differently with the change?
Or even if you wanted to keep it the same, we could do a dollar the first year and then do the rest the second year.
It really comes down to, Member Bennett, it comes down to getting the projects done faster. And so we would be coming to you hopefully in 5 years and presenting our capital budget moving forward. We would have more accomplished
and then there would be funding there for future projects. We would have a new 10-year CIP, and we would actually have projects on that 10-year CIP because we're not just playing debt service, which is what we're doing now. So it's just going to speed all that up. That's what we would do. It's not, we're not going to turn around and add another person to the system or that sort of thing. It's just going to speed up this timing. Instead of 10 years, it'll compress that, and we'll be able to do more projects in the future.
Good answer.
If just to build on what Mike was saying, I think a key element that was, I think, addressed early on, but I think it bears repeating, is it's one thing to start developing a CIP based on observations in the field. I think we'll get a bigger bang for the buck and more efficient use of monies if a CIP is developed with the planning that is needed so much now, but you're not able to get that planning done because there isn't sufficient funding for it. So I think the planning effort is really important to certainly develop a good CIP for the future.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the elements that we do have in stormwater is we have, especially with Rob's history, we have bits and pieces, a lot of bits and pieces. We just don't have a comprehensive plan. And that is part of, you know, moving into the next phase of stormwater that we included, and that's that planning aspect that you're talking about, to be able to take these bits and pieces and putting them into a comprehensive program, you know, look out 20 years so that there are better expectations. And that's part of this element that would be included.
So if we went with a dollar the first year and then the balance the second year instead of the two and two.
Chairwoman, I think it would be more precise if we looked at it in the terms of a percentage increase.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we went with the...
So it would be a 25.
25 the first year.
So what the impacts would have here, if you look up on the screen, you know, it shows here's the current rates. A 25% increase, here's what the proposed rates would be. So for residential, it would go 438 to 548. And that would generate the first year, that would generate about $350,000. And then if the difference was made up the second year, it would take a residential rate from $5.48 to $8.49. And that would generate about $1.3 million increase revenue, you know, each year thereafter.
So if we did it that way, what would change in your first year then? What would you not be able to do?
So what we did is we showed you in the presentation this. And the reason we just kind of compressed everything is because we had to make some changes. It couldn't fit on the slide to show a 10-year. But here's an example of some of the activities. Some of the amounts are slightly different. But you know, we were, when you look at the totals, it was moving some of these activities for fiscal year 15, trying to save some of that cumulative money to do some of these other projects out here in fiscal year 21. So there'd be a proposal of fiscal year 18. And you know, one of the things that goes back to the fiscal policies, you know, the idea is you generate it that year when you spend it the following year. So we'd be using cash reserves to help carry us through, and that's what we were trying to balance looking at some of these needs. So by doing it over 2 years, there's a cumulative effect, but the bigger needs come in 2021. And so I still think that would meet those needs with probably minimal deferment.
Can you, whoever's got control over there, can you show a 25, 35, 35?
So what that would show then would be 350 960, and then about 1.7. So it would take the residential rate from 438 to roughly $10.
That would be over a three-year period.
Personally, I'd like to see us go for the higher amount. I really think we need it. We've got good places for it, and we've got a lot of residents who are going to be anxious to see the activities associated with a little more rapid capability of at least addressing some of the smaller demand projects.
Sorry, Bruce, which rapid amount?
I'm sorry. I like the 25-35-35. Personally, it provides a little bit more revenue over the 3 years. It takes an extra year to catch up, but then you're ahead of the game from what we had in the proposal.
Well, I would accept a motion to recommend to the Board of Supervisors that we think a rate hike is necessary, and that we would recommend a rate hike of 25, 35, 35 for residential, and then the same for the others that we have, the commercial, multifamily. What am I missing here?
Public
and manufacturing. For the 2018 budget, is that what we're talking about here? 2017, 2018 budget?
Well, we have to go back to the proposed 2018 budget, which is what we discussed about before, and there hasn't been a motion on that. So, yes, you could make this part of, I think you could combine those two into one.
Can I recommend you guys just do an effective date on this motion, and then we go back to the budget? Because we can always augment and add this revenue in the projects later, after the board approves it.
So you mean pass the original budget that was given to us, and then pass
another two separate recommendations?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So does everybody understand what we're doing?
Right.
We're still on this one, and we're going to go back to item four.
Right.
Yes.
Right. We're going to go back to the original. And I'd like a motion on that to take recommendation to the board. Do you have a suggested one here? And then we'll come to this one and make another motion. Okay.
Yes.
Let me ask a question as the initial part of my motion. My inclination is to make a motion to recommend to the Board of Supervisors. Wait a minute. We're on the increase at this point?
Yeah, we have to do this one first, and then we go to the increase.
Okay, this one says increase. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's the wrong
one. What I'm thinking is that the motion would recommend approval of the storm drain budget subject or with the understanding that we are not meeting current guidelines without some type of a rate adjustment that allows us to place the storm drain budget into the same criteria that we have for our water and sewer. Mike, does that meet what you were concerned about in the budget?
Well, without
the exception of the system reinvestment funds, I think I'd rather say that they have met their compliance with the exception of that. Because you have. It's, and the system reinvestment funding is probably even
questionable because it never was part, they were never part of that study. But I think because we have citywide financial policy that stormwater falls under, I would say that then we could not meet that one in, or then it's not projected for it to meet it in 2018. I got to find that financial page again.
Well, the suggested motion is simply to approve the tentative stormwater fund budget, not to have a finding.
Here we are. To be consistent with the other two funds, let's just say yes, that they have met the.
I have a problem with that because we're not meeting. I mean, what's the point of the whole next motion if we're saying we meet everything now? I don't know how to say it, Bruce, but I think your point is appropriate. That, you know, we recommend moving forward with the budget with the caveat that we look at investment, reinvestment in the system.
What are we, the recommended motion doesn't indicate anything with regard to the criteria.
Right.
Is that an acceptable motion from the staff perspective in moving forward? I mean, obviously, we're going to have a further motion with regard to a proposed rate increase, but I believe we owe the board some kind of a signal that says we really aren't meeting the same criteria that the Water and Sewer Fund are. All right, I would make a motion under pressure from the chair to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the approval of the tentative stormwater fund budget for fiscal year 18 with the understanding and the recognition that the stormwater fund does not meet the same criteria as the water and sewer fund, and that we feel further consideration of storm drainage rates are necessary to allow us to treat them the same way we treat the water and sewer.
Is that okay, Sherry, that we put the recommended increase in that motion?
Yes. He didn't put it in the budget. My concern was you guys were going to ask us to put the rate increase in the budget. And I can't do that until the board approves
right,
it. So,
right,
yeah,
okay.
He's just made that
right.
Recommendation in addition to the board. So, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right, that's a motion. Do I hear a second?
I will second that well-stated motion.
Okay. You're going to have to present it, Madam Chair, to the board.
I have a first and a second. Is there any discussion? If not, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 And I think in this we would be recommending that the board consider. Dan, should we mention all the individual rates for each of the categories in this motion?
Well, Madam Chair, if you would like to get into detail like that, you're certainly welcome to. I think that the discussion on the record is pretty clear with respect to the intent of the members. So if you just wanted to simply summarize and regurgitate, so to speak, and just put it in summary form for the motion, I think that would be sufficient as well.
Okay.
Well, I'll go for it since Bruce was kind enough to do the last one.
Mr. Bennett, please.
Madam Chair, I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors a stormwater rate increase in the amount of 25% the first year, 35% the second year, and 35% the third year to support an improved citywide stormwater program and to further our goal of meeting the goals of the financial policy.
Second.
Discussion. You mean that across the board for every category?
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Is there any discussion of an implementation? Or is that up to the Board of Supervisors, essentially?
That would be up to the Board of Supervisors. All we're doing is recommending that they consider adopting.
On discussion, do we want to say an effective date on that? Would that be for the fiscal year 18?
Yeah, let's include
yes.
that in here.
Yes, I would like to amend my motion to include that.
Okay. And Bruce amend. Okay, that being said, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? None. Next item on the agenda, because we've got 5 minutes, okay, was what, future meetings? Is that the next thing on the agenda?
So, based, Madam Chair, based on our last meeting, we set two future dates.
Right.
And our next meeting was scheduled for June 20th, which is a Tuesday at 1 a.m. here in the Sierra Room.
Can we make that 1 p.m.?
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
1 p.m., thank you.
Yeah. I'll be sleeping. Is there any public comment? There being none. Here, motion for adjournment.
So moved.
And second from Bruce Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.